Political and religious ideologies are not like mathematics, they're not even like the natural sciences. There's a lot of leeway for interpretation, and everyone and his mother typically interprets them differently. If you look at any given ideology, you probably could get at least a dozen, maybe even dozens of different interpretations. Ask somebody, for example, about libertarianism, what they think about it or what they think it is. Of course, people opposed to a certain ideology are going to have their own opinions, but even within ideologies, and that's kind of my point, you tend to get a lot of different interpretations. So one libertarian might think quite differently from another, and he might think then, in turn, quite differently from yet another libertarian. These are really milquetoast examples. But when it comes to feminism, this holds true too. There are many, many different interpretations of feminism, depending on the angle you're coming at it from, and there are indeed different types of feminisms, even today. I'm sure you heard of the TERF variant of feminism versus the, you can say, more New Age variant, the quote-unquote more inclusive one, and so it goes and so it goes. But one aspect of ideology, and specifically feminism, that I've observed time and again is something that I might call feminism as a revenge fantasy. This idea that the purpose of feminism, in some interpretations, is to sort of get back at the evil men, the patriarchy, that instituted all this misery in the world and held down women for so long. And one thing I've noticed that goes hand in hand with this, and not just feminism, because we could talk about other ideologies that do the same thing, is this notion, even if they don't admit to it, that there's something about history that's very directed and intentional. So there's a directedness and intentionality behind history. History isn't, in the eyes of many people, in the eyes of people who perceive this ideology in the way they do, this sort of jumble of things that happen, and consequently actions and reactions, and people do their best to sort of make do and somehow sort through the mess. That's certainly my view of history. I don't think history is directed in any specific way. Things just kind of happen. Even if these things tend to be long-term developments, they're not directed from on high. If only because throughout history, humans have had very limited influence on this mudball called Earth. There's just very little that humans can do to direct the grand tide of history, as it were. And so, under the rubric of, say, feminism as a revenge fantasy, and I think a lot of people who are staunch feminists view it this way, sort of, we need to get back at the patriarchy, evil men that instituted all of this misery, that's kind of their primary MO. They really think that there was some long-term plan to create certain structures that benefit men, but then disadvantage women in a very specific way, rather than that being just sort of the product of biological circumstances, geographical circumstances, geological circumstances, and just how things tend to pan out more than anything else. And if you point out to them, for example, that this is a very small subset of men that quote-unquote benefited from quote-unquote patriarchy, then they always have an answer. It's a very curt and insufficient answer that has no explanatory power. And it goes something like this. Patriarchy hurts men too. I'm sure you've heard that line many times before, but that's their actual answer. Because in conversations with people who are staunch feminists, something that doesn't happen frequently, I pointed out that you're looking at a very small subset of men who quote-unquote benefited from patriarchy. For example, you probably wouldn't have wanted to have been a man in the 19th century working in a coal mine in Wales, where they got black lung and died an early painful death due to the horrific conditions of their work environment. I'm not saying that women had it easy. The point I'm trying to make is nobody really had it good back then. Very few people did. You could argue even nobody did because of technological limitations and medical limitations. But let's be more specific. Most people, the non-aristocracy, they didn't have a good time, men or women. They lived short, miserable lives. That's the way it's been for most of history. And there wasn't this directedness. So there's that, this interpretation that a lot of feminists have and a lot of other ideologues who insist that people have been planning these things, directing things in a certain way, and it's all going according to plan. Now, another element to this notion of revenge fantasy, you know, hit them where it hurts, get back at them, is what I view as a recency bias. So we live in a time, in a day and age, where there's a lot of information. We're suffering, in my humble opinion, from information overload. It's very hard to sort through it. We have access to a lot of information. And we have, even within the last 100 years, 150, maybe even 200, much better record keeping of the past compared to what happened 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. And so it goes. The further back you go, the worse the record keeping, typically. And a lot of this ability to sort of home in on specific events in history and point them out as being especially egregious or destructive or sexist or racist or however you want to term it, has a lot to do with this recency bias, simply because record keeping has been pretty good in recent decades, centuries. And on top of that, the emergence of things like radio, photography, television, and now the almighty internet, everything can be documented pretty much. This allows people, for one, to think that there's a certain uniqueness to the type of events that they're obsessing over, on the one hand, and it also allows people to create an artificial connection to things that actually they have very little connection to as individuals in today's day and age, which is to say, maybe there was some event that happened 130 years ago, which you claim to be deeply connected to, but you only discovered that after reading some article on Wikipedia or hearing about it on a podcast, and now you're creating this artificial connection. Now, I always bring this up because I think it's pertinent and salient, but back in the day, Genghis Khan's Mongol horde terminated the lives of about as many people as people died in World War II. Now, this is about 800 years ago, so you know, technology and what have you. Imagine that. This guy, with his underlings, so to speak, put to death more people than people died in World War II. Now, given how far the Mongol Empire stretched and the atrocities it committed, you would think a lot of people have major grievances towards Mongolians, right? I mean, they caused a lot of destruction and ended the lives of many people. But no, that was 800 years ago. And here's where the recency bias kicks in. The same could be said of the Umayyads, the people who came from the Arabian Peninsula and conquered much, if not all, of North Africa. If you go back far enough, very few people in North Africa were practicing Muslims, for example. This conversion only took place after Muslims from the Arabian Peninsula conquered North Africa. But again, that was 1,300 or so years ago, so it's not important anymore. There's no reason to have grievance about this. So this idea, this conjunction of the spheres, as it were, of feminism and really any ideology that is based on grievance and a directedness behind history, as well as recency, is something that I really think is the key matter here when it comes to capturing why people have become so obsessed with feminism and various other ideologies in the current year. Because most of the things they're talking about occurred within the last few hundred years, typically, and therefore fall within the purview of increasingly better record keeping. But also, the fact that there is record keeping that's better than, say, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago lends itself to this belief that there's a sort of directedness to it, that people are trying to shape things in a certain way. And for all we know, maybe they tried, but that's just not how history pans out. History is chaotic. It's a jumble of events. And this then leads to this, in my humble opinion, erroneous interpretation of things, which then ignites the fuel, which then urges people on, when it comes to feminism and other ideologies, to pursue this as a sort of revenge for the evils committed in the past, even if these evils were, to the extent that they did take place, haphazard, unplanned, and for the most part, a byproduct of history just playing itself out as it always does. It just so happens that we in 2024 have much greater access to what happened 200, 300, 400 years ago than what happened 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, because the record keeping sucked and there's nobody really around anymore who can say, oh, it was really bad because this happened to us and we can blame it on them. Even though I can assure you that 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, there were people with grievances and complaints about things that happened to them. It's just they have no voice now and nobody cares about it anymore. So by and large, I think feminism and many modern ideologies are the result of a misinterpretation of how history works and the convenience of modernity, the fact of better record keeping, the fact that people pay attention to these things more, and you can learn about this in a way you couldn't learn about, say, I don't know, the Bronze Age collapse over 3,000 years ago. Nobody's around to complain about that anymore, even though I'm sure, like I said, there were people with their grievances during the Bronze Age collapse. Mind you, I've never been able to convince somebody of this who's firmly of the belief that I've described, but I do think there's some validity to what I'm saying, because I've heard it too often, and if you really look at history, it is this gigantic mess rather than this directed intentional thing, and there you have it. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my patrons on Patreon. You guys are the best. Without you, the channel couldn't exist. And if you like my videos, you can hit the like button, leave a comment, sub, share the video, and hit the bell icon to be notified of my videos, because a lot of people are not being notified. Be much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check out then. Until then, may the gods watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.